Welcome to Storytime by Chava. We are up to chapter 81 of the book Once Upon a Journey, Volume 2, by Rabbi Zalman Ruderman. This chapter is called The Maharal's Family. The Maharal had six daughters and a son named Bezalel, who was an outstanding Talmud Chacham. For a while, Bezalel served as the head of the Beis Din in the city of Nikolsburg. He had a son named Reb Shmuel. There is an unusual story about these three: the grandfather, the Maharal, the son, Rav Bezalel, and the grandson, Reb Shmuel. The Maharal purchased three plots of land next to each other in the Jewish cemetery of Prague to be used as graves for himself, his wife, and their only son, Bezalel. However, Bezalel moved to the faraway city of Cologne. There, he died suddenly, about 10 years before the Maharal passed away, and there he was buried, instead of in Prague. The Maharal then instructed that the third plot in the cemetery be reserved for his grandson, Reb Shmuel. The Maharal passed away on Chai Elul, the 18th day of Elul in the year 5369. He was 97 years of age. His learned wife, Perel, passed away 3.5 years later. Time passed. Reb Shmuel felt that he was nearing the end of his life. He asked the members of the Chevra Kadisha about the third burial plot that the Maharal had reserved for him. To his dismay, however, they told him that over the years, so many people had been buried in the cemetery, and so many had wished to be buried close to the great tzaddik, that the third plot had gotten smaller and smaller each year, and by now, there was simply no space left for Reb Shmuel. However, Reb Shmuel was not ready to give up. "I demand my right to be buried alongside my holy grandparents," he told the Chevra Kadisha. "I am certain that when my holy grandfather said something, he meant it. If he promised that I should be buried next to him, that is exactly what will happen." Reb Shmuel insisted that the Chevra Kadisha accompany him to the gravesite of the Maharal to seek a solution and to remind the tzaddik of his promise to his grandson. The Chevra Kadisha did as Reb Shmuel asked. At the cemetery, they could not find a solution. Still, they reminded the tzaddik of his promise. A few days later, they observed that there was now an empty space right next to the Maharal's grave. The earth seemed to have stretched itself as if by a miracle. And, after Reb Shmuel's nifter, he was buried in that spot. Reb Shmuel had a son whom he had named after his grandfather, Yehuda Leib. When this Yehuda Leib was young, he studied in the yeshiva of Rav Eliyahu, the Baal Shem of Worms. The Baal Shem of Worms lived a long life. Before he passed away, he instructed Yehuda Leib, "Your future is in Posen. There you will be successful and will live a long life." And Reb Shmuel took these words to heart. In Posen, Reb Yehuda Leib married Sarah, the daughter of Reb Chaim, a great Talmud Chacham and an extremely wealthy resident of the city. They had a son whom they named Moshe. Young Moshe grew up in the time right after the tragic story of Shabsai Tzvi, a man who pretended that he was Mashiach. Shabsai Tzvi had been born in Izmir, Turkey. He was a Talmud Chacham who studied Kabbalah at length until eventually he came up with the crazy idea that he was Mashiach. He imagined that he would be the one to redeem the Jewish people from their exile and return them to the Holy Land. He wandered from country to country, telling people in each place that he was Mashiach. At the same time, he broke many laws of the Torah, doing things that were completely forbidden. For everything he did wrong, he would give an explanation based on the fact that he claimed to be Mashiach. Many thousands of simple, honest Jews believed Shabsai Tzvi and followed him. Eventually, the Sultan of Turkey accused him of plotting a rebellion. The Sultan gave him two choices. He could convert to Islam and live out his days as a Muslim, or he would be hanged. To the shock and dismay of his thousands of followers, he chose to convert. This terrible Chil Hashem resulted in huge numbers of Jews giving up their hope in the coming of Mashiach and abandoning the Torah. As a result of these calamities, many leading Talmidei Chachamim banned the learning of Kabbalah altogether. They thought it was too deep and dangerous. Anyone could misunderstand its wisdom and concoct wild ideas, the way that Shabtai Tzvi had done. Only the very greatest people were able to learn Kabbalah and not be in danger, they said. And this was the era in which Moshe, son of Yehuda Leib, received his education. Therefore, he was taught only Nigla, the ordinary parts of the Torah. He was told nothing at all about Nistar, the Torah's deeper teachings. Moshe married Sarah, the daughter of Shneur Zalman, who was a grandson of one of the Maharal's six daughters. With the marriage of Moshe and Sarah, two branches of the Maharal's family became linked through marriage. When Moshe was only 25 years old, he was appointed Reish HaKal of Posen, head of the Jewish community. He was the youngest ever to be awarded this position in this prestigious community. He was elected because he was a brilliant scholar with a wonderful, unique personality. In fact, he was exceptionally talented in many areas, and equally important, he was an excellent leader. The Rabbanim, leaders and elders of Prague, realized with some amazement that Rav Moshe had been appointed Reish HaKahal of Posen in the year 5452, exactly 100 years after his great-great-grandfather, the Maharal of Prague, spent an entire year in the city of Posen in 5352. They took this to be a sign from heaven. There's an interesting story behind the Maharal's year-long visit to the city of Posen. By that time, King Ferdinand I had died. His son, King Maximilian II, who had been emperor for a number of years, had also died. Rudolf II, the son of King Maximilian and grandson of King Ferdinand, was now the emperor of Bohemia. King Rudolf was close friends with the Maharal. They would spend hours and hours in deep discussion. Although many leaders were afraid of the church's growing power, King Rudolf followed whatever seemed right to him. He did not agree with everything that was taught in the Christian religion. Church leaders tried to blame his lack of faith on his friendship with the Maharal, the Jew. They claimed that the rabbi was having a damaging effect on the king. Desperate to break the friendship, these church leaders traveled to Rome to ask the Pope's advice. The Pope sent three cardinals, a cardinal is a high-ranking priest, to Prague and instructed them to hold a religious debate with the Maharal. They hoped to prove that the Jewish religion was wrong and that their religion was the truth and make the Maharal look foolish in front of the king. King Rudolf would then lose all respect for the Maharal and end his friendship. The debate between the Maharal and the cardinals lasted for 10 days. Despite being outnumbered 3-1, the Maharal easily won the debate and displayed his extraordinary knowledge of religion, faith, science, and all other subjects. He proved to the cardinals that their religion was based on weak and invented principles. News of the Maharal's victory spread quickly, and it reached the ears of the Pope. The chief cardinal who had led the debate felt personally responsible for their awful defeat. He was too ashamed to return to Rome and face the Pope. For a long time, he kept himself hidden away, until one day he was found dead. He had lost his mind because of the embarrassment and pain and had hung himself. After that, the Maharal decided it would be wise to leave Prague for a while until things calmed down. If he remained in the city, the church would certainly feel the need to take revenge on him and on Prague's Jewish community. Their priests would not easily forgive the shame he had brought to their religion. The Maharal chose to spend a full year in the Jewish community of Posen. The fact that Rav Moshe, the Maharal's great-great-grandson, was appointed Reish HaKahal of Posen, reminded the community of the Maharal's visit 100 years before.